Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. As we continue our study on God's Ten Commandments, and as we focus on the law of God this morning, we come to that section of God's Word in which there is a transition from the commandments which are Godward, that is, that we have no other gods before Him, that we worship God in the way that God has prescribed, that we reverence God's name, and that we keep one day in seven holy to Him. And now we go from those laws, particularly regarding our relationship with God, to our relationship with our fellow man. And standing at the head of those commandments is the commandment that we come to consider this morning, found in Exodus 20 and verse 12, where we read, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Let's pray and ask God to help us as we open up His Word this morning. Our Father, we do pray that You will help us to understand and to apply these very simple words which are given for Your glory, which are given for the happiness of the home, which are given for the benefit of our own nation. Father, we do pray that You'll help us to understand what You have commanded and to live in the light of the truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the nearly 12 years that I have been privileged to preach in this assembly, I have sought on many occasions to bring to mind the needs of the diverse people that make up this assembly. I realize when I preach, for instance, that there are those who have walked with the Lord here for a long time. Some who have been Christians 20, 30, 40 years and longer. And then I also realize when I preach that there are others who are new to the faith. I realize when I preach that we have those in our midst who are married, and we have those who are single, we have those who are parents, and there are those who are married but who have no children, there are those who are out in the workforce, there are those who labor at home, and I have sought to remember to apply something of God's Word in all of these various things. But then I've also sought throughout the years to remember that every single Lord's Day that there are dozens and dozens of children here. Now, most every Lord's Day, I do seek to have something to say to the children and to the young people of the assembly. I try to remember to specifically apply the Word of God to you all so that you understand as I'm talking about this thing, whatever it is that's being preached on, that you ought to be listening and that these truths apply to you as well. But every once in a while, I seek to speak to the children as children and to specifically address them. And that is what I'm going to do this morning. I want to preach today primarily to the children of the church, for God's Word has something to say to those of you here who are living now with your parents. And God has a commandment just for you. Now, having said that, I trust that all of us here will be able to recognize something of the broader application of these words. And perhaps on some other occasion, we will deal with the whole theme of authority and submission, arguing that what is true in the structure of the home, that those who are in submission are to obey those who are in authority, that carries out into other relationships as well. Now, this morning, I'm not going to be dealing with a rather knotty question of what of those of us who are older and we're out on our own and our parents are, we don't live with our parents, and what is our relationship with them, or what if our parents are not godly, or they are not worthy, we say, of honor or respect, some of those kinds of questions. I'm not really going to be addressing those. I may well address those in some other setting. I think that would be helpful for some here. But particularly, I want to address the children of this assembly and your duty to your parents. And I'm going to be speaking, as I say, throughout most of this directly to you. Now, it is only fitting that this should happen because 2 weeks from today, Pastor George McDiarmid is going to be here from New York, and he is going to be addressing how the parents are to be toward you. And they're going to, if you think today, man, all he did was talk about how I'm supposed to be with my parents, well, 2 weeks from now, the shoe's going to be on the other foot, and there's going to be a very powerful preacher up here directing the parents of this assembly on their duties to you and how they're not to provoke you to wrath and how they're to train you up in the fear and in the admonition, instruction, which is of the Lord. And so a lot's going to be directed to the moms and dads here, but particularly now again, young people, I want to address you. God speaks specifically to you. And so that, children, it should not surprise you that as I studied this, that you were on my heart, and it ought not to surprise you if you listen to my sermon, that I've got three things to say to you today. Right? You say, I almost always have three things to say. So whether I preach to big people or younger people, I usually have three things to say. And I do have three things I want to bring out. I want to first of all say a little something about God's dealings with children. Secondly, I want to address God's commandment to children. And then finally, God's promised blessing to children. I want us to see, just to draw back for a moment here at the beginning, and talk about God's dealings with children. And I want to remind you, young people here, that as God is speaking His law, God is speaking, you remember, on Mount Sinai, and He is speaking in the hearing of all the people, and He is laying out His 10 great commandments, and He is writing them with His own finger. So here is God speaking to all of the assembly His eternal moral law, and He is addressing these great things which are going to form the basis of judgment and of righteousness. And as He speaks those words, "You shall have no other gods before Me," and there's thunder and lightning, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." And now as He goes to speak about our relationships with each other, He begins by talking to the children. You are the first ones on His mind. And He tells you, before He talks to anybody else, He's going to, generally speaking, children aren't the ones who are guilty of murder or of adultery or of stealing. That's usually done later on, although some children do some of those things. But He begins by addressing you children. And He begins by going after your hearts as young people to describe the righteous way that people are to live with one another. And fundamental to all of the righteous dealings that we're to have with one another is this commandment, which is given particularly to you as young people. Now, young people, obviously, there are other commandments that you must take to heart as well. Surely when God said, "You shall have no other gods before Me," He's not just talking to those who are over 20. And when God says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain," you don't say to yourself, "Well, I can do that when I'm a kid. I just better not do that when I'm grown up." No. And God says, "You must not steal," and that "You must not lie," and that "You must not covet." Right? That is keeping, always wanting what you can't have. Can I get this? Can I get that? Can I have this? You know, God addresses that to young people as well. But there is one commandment here given especially to you. And so I want to remind you, children, that you are upon the heart of God. This is the only one of the commandments that is given specifically to one group of people. And I'm going to say that because when it is quoted in the New Testament, it is quoted particularly in reference to children. And it's obvious then that God had children on His mind. This isn't just something for all of us. It's not merely for all of us to obey those in authority. It is a specific commandment given to children. God wants to deal with you. And though preachers may sometimes forget you, and though preachers may sometimes preach in such a way that you don't understand very well, He uses such big words. I don't know what He's talking about. We try to do better with that so that you can understand. But God does have a word for you. Now, God commands your parents to teach you God's laws. God commands His parents to teach you God's ways. God wants you children to know His law. God wants you to understand His righteous ways. We read in Deuteronomy 6:7, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. And later in the same book of Deuteronomy, God commands that on a regular basis that the law of God is to be read in the hearing of all the people and that they are to listen to what God says. And we read in Deuteronomy 31, verse 11, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place which He chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together. Listen to what it says. Men and women and little ones. God says, when my law is read and when it is taught, I want the little ones to be there. I want the little ones in the assembly. I want your children to understand and to observe all the things that God has to say. We go on to read there in verse 12, where after it says the little ones, we read also, and the stranger who is within your gate, that they, and this is including the little ones, may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess. God wants you children to learn His law. God wants you children to learn to fear God. God wants you children to learn to keep His commandments. So that I say, children, young people, God's heart is toward you in order that He might bless you. God is concerned that you, from the time of your infancy onward, will learn how to have a blessed and happy life. That you might know how to live not only in this world, but that you might have life eternal in that world which is to come. God has blessed so many of you children and you young people to have a home where God's Word is spoken to you, where the way of life is opened up, where you have praying parents and praying older friends who are here and praying pastors. That is indeed a great blessing. So I wanted to briefly just touch on that, God's dealings with children. But now let's consider together God's commandment to children. And God's commandments are, in many cases, as I say, we need to recognize that a lot of God's commandments are for kids. Certainly the commandment, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that is certainly for you children. You don't have to wait till you're 15 or 20 to believe on the Lord Jesus. It's your duty to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But when He speaks to children, as children, He has one major thing that He wants you to do. There is one great way in which you can please Him and bring blessing to yourself. And what God says is this: honor your father and your mother. Now note first of all that the one you're to honor is your father and your mother. It's not just that you say, well, I will honor the office of parenthood. I think my parents are losers and jerks, but I will honor parents in general. No, you are to honor your father and your mother. Whatever father and mother God has put into your home is the one to be honored. And note as well, it is both your father and your mother. If you have both of your parents in your home, both are to be honored. There are some children who readily obey dad, but not mom. There are some who may tend toward honoring their mother and not their father. But God says, you shall honor both. And again, it's not just that you are to respect older people. That is true. And God does want children to respect their elders. And I don't mean by that their pastors. But I mean those who are old and those with gray hair and those with little hair are to be honored by you children because it is a crown to them. It is the reality that they've lived a long life and God has brought them through many things and they have some wisdom that they can teach you. But above all others, children, it is your father and your mother that you are to honor. Now the word honor, want to learn a Hebrew word? Kabod. Kabod, and it means to be weighty or to be heavy. Now that doesn't mean you're to think of your parents as big. But it means that you are to take them seriously. That's what it means. It means that you are to consider the fact that God has placed them in your home as the adults, as the authority. They are those who have brought life to you by the blessing of God. They are those who have taken care of you. They feed you, they clothe you, and they teach you. They instruct you. They're the ones who taught you to talk and helped you to walk. And they are to be respected and taken seriously by you. Now the Bible expands upon the meaning of the word honor when it repeats it in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3. And here we have a different word, so it gives us a different shade of the duty. There it says, every one of you shall revere his father and his mother. Now the word there, revere, actually means, or can literally mean, to fear. Now children, that doesn't mean that you are to be afraid of your parents like you might be afraid of scary things. But it does mean that you will not mock them and you will not show them contempt. So that when father and mother say something, you don't roll your eyes and go, oh, yeah. Oh, there goes mom again. Yak, 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 yak. There's dad again getting on my case. That's not revering someone, is it? That's hardly being respectful. They are to be taken seriously. In a very real way, mom and dad are to be viewed as the king and queen of the home. It's interesting to see how in the book of 2 Kings, when Solomon, remember King Solomon, great King Solomon is put on the throne, that when his mother came in, what does Solomon do? He bows down on the floor before her. He was the king, but she was his mom. And others bowed down to him, but he bowed down to her. He honored and respected his mother. We sang this morning about the Lord Jesus and his infancy. And one of the reasons I wanted to touch on that, because of the way the Bible speaks of his respectful attitude toward Joseph and Mary. He was subject to them. He said, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, to a mere carpenter. And to a relatively plain, probably relatively ignorant Hebrew maiden. The King of Glory incarnate. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. He was respectful and subject to them. Mom and dad are the ones under God who make the rules. They are the ones who are the leaders in the home. And when their laws are broken, there ought to be consequences. They have the right and the power to punish you. And we're to respect that. I have respect for policemen. They're the ones who uphold our laws. And if ever a policeman questions me about something, occasionally I might stop and think about how much bigger they are than me. I rode with Officer Khan recently. We went riding together one day, and we stopped at an accident scene, and another policeman came by, and this guy was enormous. It was like a walking tree. And his arms were, you know, looked about as big as my chest and all of that. And I thought, you know, whatever that guy tells me to do, I'm going to do. And that's part of that out of fear. But some policemen aren't bigger than me. Sometimes you say, well, I might look at their gun. And when I look at their gun, I think, I'm going to do whatever they tell me to do. But mostly I look at their badge. And I realize that God has given them authority over me. And that I am to respect and to revere that authority so that I don't talk back to them. I will not say to them, oh yeah? Well, let me tell you a few things, bub. Or who do you think you are? No. If you honor and respect someone and revere them, you obey what they have to say. And that is brought out now further when we find this word being used, when the commandment is repeated in the New Testament. When the fifth commandment is repeated in Ephesians 6:1, and then when the same idea is given in Colossians 3:20, their children are told to obey your parents. So you are to honor them, God says, that is, to take them seriously. You are to revere them or to fear them, have respect for them. And now God says you are to obey them. And that's an interesting word. In the original language, it literally means to really listen hard. It means to really pay attention when they speak to you. He says that's one of the great ways that you show them honor. If you were talking to me, one of you kids were talking to me, and I kept turning around, and anytime you try to say something, I'm looking down, or I'm cleaning my teeth, or I'm doing something else, you'd say, well, that guy obviously doesn't respect me, if you thought about it. And you'd be right. I would not be respecting you at that moment. When you respect someone, you'll listen to them. It's one of the great ways to show honor. So that children, when your parents speak to you, you really listen. You turn your attention to them. And again, that's what Jesus did. When He honored Joseph and Mary, when He was subject to them, He honored and He obeyed them. He paid attention to them. And He did what they asked Him to do. So that we look at them when they're speaking to us. And if we obey, I'll give you a Greek word here, hupakouo. Some of you kids may have heard the word acoustics, which means how things sound. Hupakouo, really listen hard. When you really listen, you concentrate on their words. You kind of tune your ear to hear their voice. You know how it is sometimes? Maybe there's a loud noise in your house, and after a day or two, we talk about you tune it out. You don't hear it anymore. My sister-in-law and her husband used to live near train tracks in Yazoo City, Mississippi. And I don't know how many times a day that train went by. 100 yards from their back door, shaking, rattling. 2 o'clock in the morning, you get shaken out of bed. Well, it didn't bother them. They learned to tune out that sound. And some children learn to tune out their parents, just like some perhaps learn to tune out my voice. Whenever I start preaching, you just know it becomes like the train. You don't want to hear what's being said. But we need to tune ourselves to hear their voice so that when our father or our mother speak, I begin to pay attention. You're in your room and you're playing something or you're reading something and dad's voice comes. And you hear that voice and immediately you arise and go. My mother is calling me. I must go. And this is one of the earliest things often you have to work on. Parents have to work on when you were little. Sweetheart, come to daddy. And they start the other way. No, no. Come to daddy. And they begin to learn dad means what dad says. And that you're to listen to that voice. You're to obey that voice. So that again, when my father or my mother speak, I must pay attention. And if you've ever read, as I know many of you children have, the book of Proverbs, this comes out over and over again, doesn't it? My son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. He goes on to speak about when he was little, when I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in the sight of my mother. He also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Now children, if you did this, you'll be very different, won't you, from many children today. Some of you kids know what it's like to be in a store, or maybe you're at your cousin's house, or some friend invites you over, and you see the little child yelling, screaming at their father and mother, falling down in the supermarket, being dragged. You see perhaps a child saying no to father or mother, or you see a child slapping the parent, or you see the teenager the father or mother says something to them and they just walk through the house, maybe grunt something and go up to their room and slam the door and turn on their CD player and put on their headphones. You know what it's like. I'm sure many of you have seen young people speaking disrespectfully to those that God has placed over them. And children, if you have any kind of heart at all to know God's commandments, those things will sometimes make you sick, don't they? Do you wonder why they're like that? Why are they allowed to be that way? I sometimes hear children making fun of their parents. And I was certainly one who did this. Mocked my father. I even have tragic photographic evidence of my mockery to my father. And my father didn't even know what I was doing at times, taking pictures of me. And in the picture, I'm doing something to mock my father. And then having that go up on a slide and my other brothers and sisters laughing when I was a kid. Sometimes we abuse parents by talking of them as though they don't know anything. This is a big thing somehow when we get to be teenagers. There's an amazing little time in your life when you know everything. This is tongue in cheek. The time you're 12 to you're about 19, you know everything. It's amazing. And nobody else knows anything. And somehow, you know, kids get this idea that mom and dad skipped being 12 to 15 or 12 to 20, or they're just born big. Well, you don't know what it's like. In order to get where I am, I had to be where you are. Yes, I do know what it's like. I do remember what it was like. I do know something. Mom and Dad do know something. I jokingly said there's a time in your life where you know everything. One of my statements lately in life has been, it's amazing how much I forgot. I used to know everything. I know what everybody ought to do. I don't know all of those things anymore. I've heard as well children call their parents some horrible things. And speaking disrespectfully of that one who has labored and poured out their life for them. I'll tell you a little something, kids. When I saw my wife give birth to my first child, to my little girl Erin, who's now 10, and I saw all the pain that she went through in delivery and know now all that she's gone through in raising her, a couple of things happened. Number one, I gained a much greater appreciation for my mother. And the other thing that happened is, one of my first words to my daughter were, as I'm walking around the hospital room, "You ever give your mother any grief?" Because of what she had done to give her life. And the way my wife expended her life and continues to expend her life for my children. And because of those things, they are to be honored, they are to be revered, and they are to be obeyed. But now let's consider God's promised blessing. The blessing which comes from obeying this commandment can be seen in several ways. You will find a great blessing laid out in Ephesians 6:1. Where we are told there, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." That's a great blessing. It's never wrong to honor and obey your parents. It's always right. You are doing that which is good and correct, and unless your parents are telling you to sin, you will know that at that moment, when you are doing their will, you are doing God's will. "You mean it's God's will that I make my bed?" Yeah. "It's God's will that I put my things away when I'm done with them because mom and dad told me?" It's just as much God's will as if God spoke from the cloud and thunder. I've heard some young people tell me, this is so ironic, "I just want to do what's right. I really want to do what's God's will." But yet they don't honor their father and their mother. Any of you want to do God's will? Children, you want to do God's will? You want to do right? Do you want to do right? It's fairly simple when you're young. Obeying your parents, honoring your parents, respecting those in authority over you is the will of God. But then we're also told in Colossians 3 that in obeying your parents, you are doing what is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now, there's not necessarily a whole lot in our lives we might be able to say that about. But I know that when I honor and obey and respect those that God has put over me, that I bring pleasure to God. So that if my father or mother say, "Sweetheart, come here. Would you please do this for mom? Or would you do this for dad?" That the Bible says that when you do that, cheerfully obeying father or mother, God is pleased with that. Another great blessing is that a child who honors their father and mother is a joy and a delight to them. Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who begot you. Hear what that dad's saying? And do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. You want mom and dad to be happy? Do you? Some of you maybe say, no, not really. Mom and dad make things miserable for me, so I'm going to make them miserable for them. But the Bible tells us that obedient, respectful children are a crown to their parents. They're a joy to their parents. They make their father and their mother glad. And the flip side of that, often throughout, is that the child who doesn't do those things is a grief to their parents. And disobedient children, disobedient, disrespectful teenagers, you would do better to torture your parents. You cannot torture them any better than by being that way. You cannot rake their hearts and cause them pain any more than by being disobedient and disrespectful to them. Well, I'm not hurting them. Oh, yes, you are. And there are moms and dads in this assembly who have cried themselves to sleep and who go through life with heavy hearts because of disobedient sons or daughters. But there is a great promised blessing here that is laid out in the law. And it is laid out even more clearly in the place where the law is repeated, and that's in Deuteronomy 5:16, where it says this: honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, what is being said here? Well, I'm going to say, young people, that this is what we'll call a general rule. That is that those who find themselves obeying God's commandments will live a long and happy life. That's what's being said. Now, I know that there are exceptions to this. Sometimes very sweet and obedient and godly children will have a hard life, and sometimes they'll go to heaven at an early age. But the general rule is this, that those who honor and respect and obey their father and their mother will know the blessing of God in very real ways. And the flip side is also true, that those who ignore the pleas of their parents and the words of their parents and who turn from their parental instruction are those who know hardship and trouble. Children, your parents, especially if they be loving parents, instruct you in the way that is good for you. They love you more than they can tell. And they want to see you blessed. They want to see you succeed. There are dangerous things that they know that are in the world, and they want to keep you from them. They want to guard you and protect you and lead you so that when you are older, you will be able to wisely and successfully live in God's world. And they're going to tell you, you know what? I've lived longer than you, and I know that there are liars and deceivers who will hurt you, and I want to keep you from them. There are activities in this life that will harm you and scar you and possibly destroy you. There are certain people and certain activities that you ought to avoid. Sometimes they will say no about something, and you'll think, well, all the other kids get to do. Well, you can't, because I don't want you to be hurt. And why do they do this? Well, because they're mean. Because they don't love you. Give me a break. Your parents would die for you. Your parents, if they could, would give their souls for you. They want it to be well with you. They want to see you living in this world and the next under the smile and the blessing of God. And that's why the father in Proverbs does what he does. I thought of it in this way. I want to try to imagine this, kids. Okay, we got two doors, all right? And here's the door, and it's got danger written on it, okay? And this is a door over here, and it has blessing on it. Now, in this door here, marked danger, inside you walk in, there's broken glass all over the floor. There are rattlesnakes wriggling all about. There are guns that are going off. There are flames here and there shooting out. There are deep pits every few feet. And there's not enough light in there to really see what's going on. You say, well, maybe I can step here and step there and step there, and I won't really get hurt. Now, in front of this danger door, there's a man. And he says, don't go in there! Don't go in there! Stop! 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 There's danger and harm and pain and possible death for the one who goes in there. Now, at the other hand, there's another door, and that door is marked blessing. And in that room is everything that will bring comfort and joy. And he's standing in front of the one, and he's pointing you to the other. Don't go in here! Go in there! Go in there! There's blessing and joy and peace. Now, who in the world would say, I've never had anyone hate me the way that man does? He doesn't want me to have any fun. I've seen other people go into that door that he says is marked danger. And as they're going in, I even saw them making fun of the ones going in the door that's marked blessing. Obviously, this man doesn't really love me. Well, you say, that's ridiculous. It's love that keeps him posted there. And likewise, it is love that gives parental instruction that says, it will go well with you, and you will live long in the land. That's the way for peace and joy and blessing. And the Bible will tell us that every once in a while, someone stumbles, bleeding and wounded from that danger door. And they cry out, oh, how I wish I had listened. Proverbs 5 describes someone like this who has come to a bad end. And we read, and you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed, and say, how I have hated instruction and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. Children, there is a way of blessing. What do you want to be like when you're older? Any of you want to grow up to be a lazy, shiftless bum? Any of you? Raise your hand. Sound good to you? Live out on the streets, have no real friends, have no real home? You want to do that? Have people that use you and abuse you? You want that? You want to grow up having no skills, no direction, no means to make a living? There's a way to almost guarantee that. Dishonor your father and your mother. Find the people who are that way and ask their parents if those children honored them. Proverbs 20:20 says, whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. Proverbs 30:11 says, there is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. Guess what generation that is? It's our own. Deuteronomy 27:16 says, cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt. And we read then that all the people shall say, Amen. Well, children, there are two doors that are open to you today. There's a way of danger, and there is a way of blessing. And I question you, I ask you, which door will you commit yourself to walk through? What sounds good to you? You see, we have enough sin in our hearts that we can say to ourselves, well, I'll be the exception. And I'll somehow manage to walk through the minefield or through that dangerous place, and I'll be okay. And I'll be able to disrespect and dishonor my father and my mother, and it will still go well with me. Believe that lie if you will. But I ask you, which door will you commit yourself to walk through? Some of you children or some of you young people say, I've already broken this law many times. I've not honored my father and mother. I've not obeyed them like I do sometimes, but I've not obeyed them. I've not honored them. I've not respected them. I've gone my own way. I've done my own thing, even as a child. You may have done that. What can I do? Well, children, that's why I've said so many times. That's why you need a Savior. Because those who are disobedient to their parents, the Bible tells us that the wrath of God is on them. You mean God can be angry with even little ones? Yes. The wrath of God can be angry even with little ones. We're described in Romans 1 as disobedient to parents. Young people, there is a way of blessing. And perhaps it's never been quite this clear that I'm saying to you that you almost want to plead for your own good. Obey God's command. And that's what God does so often. The way He reasons with us is so loving. God tells us, over there is death and destruction and ruin and pain, and over here is life and blessing and peace and joy, and come and you can have it freely. Repent now. Turn now. Confess now. Believe now on the Lord Jesus Christ, that one who perfectly obeyed God's law, that He might be a sacrifice for those who have broken God's law. Oh, young people, run to Him now, before those evil days come, as the Scriptures say, when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Come, obey, honor, respect those ones that God has graciously given to you. I know your moms and dads, and I know they're not perfect, but I do know they desire to lead you in the right way. Honor that, respect that. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ in the way of salvation and in the way of righteous obedience. Let us pray. Our Father, we do pray that You will in a very special way seal the Word of God to the hearts of the children in this assembly. And Father, many of us who are older recognize the shame that we have brought or pain that we brought to our parents. And Father, we confess afresh our own sin. And Father, do cry out indeed that You will remember not the sins of our youth. And Father, we pray that in the ways that are suitable for those who are older, that we will continue to honor our father and our mother. And Father, that we will set a good pattern for our children. And Father, we do pray that You will help the children in this place to do that which is most needful for their own souls and for their own joy. Father, we pray that they will forsake their own native foolishness, which is bound in their hearts, and bow before You and bless You for loving fathers and mothers who lead them in the way that they should go. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.